Welcome to the FAM Podcast. My name is Kevin Phillips. I'm your host, and I can't wait to get into another episode with you. You know, the whole purpose of this podcast is for us to open up the FAM world to you so that you can see inside our heart, really even see inside our motivations, and see how it encourages you and inspires you for how God's going to use you for kingdom movements in any harvest field you might land in. Now, today's episode, we're going to open up and expand the conversation about the church model spectrum and how FAM has found itself in a hybrid space between the poles. So let's get into it. All right. So glad to be kicking off another episode of the FAM Podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Derek Schuessler, FAM's Director of Mobilization. Man, I love seeing you in that position. Welcome back, and thanks for participating in that with us.
Yeah, it's good to be back, and I'm excited for this conversation that we're going to have
today. Yeah, me too. Yeah, it has a bit of I wouldn't say it's controversial, but we're hoping that it brings a lot of peace and a lot of people to find a spot in this crazy conversation that's going on out there, and just give a lot of freedom to pursue the Great Commission. Yep. But before we get into that, I'm excited about it too, but before we get into it, there's really an elephant in the room we need to address.
Okay.
I mean, as you know, our partners and future partners and just about anybody that gets to know us, they're always wondering, that elephant that's in the room, what is the second M of FAMM? How many times in the last 12 years have you had that conversation?
Yeah, pretty much every time I've introduced what ministry I work for or work with, that question arises. Mm-hmm. They introduce me. This is Derek from FAM, the For All Mankind. And then there's a pause.
Oh.
Mission, ministry, or they just leave it off.
Yeah, just FAM. Yeah. These guys put two M's in the logo to round it out. Yeah, I get that all the time too. Even one of our board of directors that really helped us in the very beginning days and still with us, when I said, we're going to call it, you know, this second M, and he's like, let's leave that M off. And I'm like, no way, man, we got to have it. Mm. Even though we're not there yet, we're going to keep this second M in place. But it has been one of those people just, you don't hear it much and you don't understand much. It's not pursued like that. But man, that second M was huge for us. And so let's just get it answered.
Yeah,
let's
mystery. We're dragging it out.
Solve the riddle. Yeah, it is. FAMM, the For All Mankind movement. The For All Mankind movement. And you know, it's a desire of ours. That's why we put it in our name before we had any sense of any movement orientation. We were aspiring to be used of God in this way, of like we see God moving through the early church, like we see him rescuing, redeeming people groups, like, you know, and fighting against the birth rates and death rates of a population base. It's going to take a movement capacity to do that. So we said, okay, that's what we're going to call it. Well, before we even have any, we are aspirational in it. It's our desire.
Yeah.
And by God's grace, over this last 12 years, we've been blessed to get to put our hands to the plow and see true biblical movements of a kingdom expansion happening among the people groups we're serving. So we thank God for it. It's a blessing, and it's tremendous to get to see. And we want even more of it for those that have yet to hear.
Yep. Well, you defined the name For All Mankind Movement, but I think it's a fun story to hear. I've heard it before, but where did that name come from?
Oh,
where did you get the... the inspiration
for that name. You know, I remember I took my wife out around her birthday, and we went to the movies, and we were watching a new show on the birth of Jesus that had come out back in the day, and it was called The Nativity. It was playing in the theaters, right? And as we went to watch it, I remember coming to this scene, Jesus has just been born, you know, Mary's holding the child, and the scraggly old shepherds, they come in, they're making their way, and you know, like it happens, and Mary's holding baby Jesus, and the old scraggly shepherd comes in there, he's like, hey, can I hold the baby? Like, really? I'd like to hold the baby. And you see this, if you're watching, you'd be able to see me acting it out, but just imagine, she kind of recoils, she squints her face, and she recoils, protecting her child, and then her shoulders drop, her face softens, and she offers the child up to this scraggly old shepherd, and she uses this phrase. She says, he is for all mankind. And I just remember sitting in the movies, and I was like, if I ever start a new organization or start a ministry, that's what I'm going to name it, For All Mankind. Now, we didn't have the second M, right? I'm going to name it For All Mankind.
Because this was when?
I don't know, 2008, 2000, well, no, really like 2005, yeah, somewhere around there.
You first watched the movie.
Yeah, yeah, it was around 2007, something like that. So time goes by, and the Lord starts leading us to develop FAM. We're just about to start the process of making it a 501c3, and we have to pick a name. Well, I've forgotten all about what, you know, we thought about at the movies, sure, and forgot all about it. It's Christmas time. We love this nativity movie so much now. It's a tradition in our family. We watch it every Christmas Eve, gather all the kids up. So the kids are on a pallet on the floor. Brooke and I are snuggled up on the couch. We drop the old school DVD in, and we're watching the nativity like we do every Christmas. And as we're watching it, it comes to that scene again, right? Mary's holding Jesus. Mm-hmm. Scraggy little shepherd comes in. And there we go. She says, He is for all mankind. And I jump off the couch, scared the kids. They thought Santa was coming down the chimney, right? Scared the kids. I'm like, that's it. That's it. That's what we're going to name it. The For All Mankind Movement. Mm. And man, it just stuck. And it's been with us now the last 12 years. And again, by God's grace, we've been able to live up to our name, yeah, and really see these kingdom movements taking place. Yeah, it's been awesome.
That's good. And like you said, that you had the inspiration from the movie, For All Mankind, but that movement was so important.
You betcha. Right?
And so we're going to talk about today, I think, that church model spectrum.
You bet. Right? You know, there's a great conversation that's been going on. I don't know how great it is, but there's a conversation that's been going on out in our world, in preacher world, in church leader world, in missionary world, of the church model spectrum. And the conversation kind of is, when you start getting out there, it's like, okay, we're advancing the kingdom, we're establishing churches, but what kind of church are you establishing? Yeah. You talk about planting churches, what kind of church are you planting? And the conversation kind of gets to, where do you fall on the church model spectrum? Yeah. It seems to be the conversation that's out there.
Sure. So what we mean by church model is how to plant the church, to lead the church, who leads the church, the doctrine, the polity, the form, the function.
Yes.
Where do you fall on this spectrum of the church model?
Yeah, and there's different camps and different names that get associated with it. And so for us, I'll kind of address, when we think about what does this church model spectrum mean for us, and how does it shape our strategy, shape our doctrine and our approach to ministry, kind of look at the conversation of having two poles. So to get in and kind of expand in on the conversation, let's just recognize two poles out there in our world of the church model spectrum. So let's go to the right side, if we will. And on that far right side, if you're watching, you see my hands pointing out that way. On that far right side, we have a certain camp, and we'll say they're representing the proclamation model, right?
Yep.
I love proclamation. We're all about it. It's what we're doing every day. We're proclaiming the truth of the word, but they've identified that language with their model. And on the polar end of that, it seems to be there's a champion for that, right? And we'll just say that the Nine Marks guys really exemplify that, and they're championing it. They're writing about it. They're preaching about it. They're talking about it. Right. It's their stump, and they're driving it hard.
Yeah.
Well, if you swing down to the other side of that spectrum, to the other pole, let's just go to the left side, we'll call that the movement model of church, right? And it has its strong, leading, long-term propellants, right? Guys that we're reading their books, we're studying, people that have been distant mentors to us. And, you know, not that we're biased one way or the other, but we seem to have a lot of our heroes in both sides.
Well, our name is For All Mankind
Movement, right? So we tend to drift this way. We don't want to play too much Tobias. But also, as we see some of these practitioners, in the extreme left side of that pole, there's a very pragmatic approach to it. Hey, throw it on the wall, see if it sticks. Yes, it has to be rapid no matter what. Mm. There's an adherence just to a certain methodology that we're just trying to grind out with maybe not some of them not in full understanding or grasping the totality of it, but an implementation of it. So in these full spectrums, we see that every model has its own way of engagement, has its own way of disciple-making, its own way of church planting, of church shaping, church stabilizing, its own way of leadership and leadership development, and each has its own way of sending, right?
Yep.
So as we think about that, when you take on, and wherever you fall on that model in the spectrum, it gives you a particular posturing to fulfill the mission of Christ. And for FAM, when we think about how are we going to fulfill our mission mandate with the missionary burden God's placed in our heart, with the great need that we see in our harvest fields, we're very particular and very concerned on where we land on that spectrum and how it postures us to be effective in the mission of Christ. And for fam, and I love this, this is, again, one of those things, right, that makes a distinctive about who we are and what we offer to the harvests, what we do in our partnerships. FAM truly is a hybrid within the church model spectrum. Just not out on this pole to the right, not around that pole to the left, but found this really unique spot to live in that hybrid space. Not right in the middle in compromise, but finding a sweet spot of effectiveness and living up to a biblical standard. So finding that hybrid place has been awesome for us.
So we're gonna dive into that a little bit of what makes us that hybrid. Look at that. But we also kind of need to define the terms a little bit. You kind of talked about movement principle a little bit, some of those proclamational ideas. But as we were diving into this, you know, we did some research, listened to some podcasts where trying to articulate for themselves the points that they want to bring out. So give them some, their due, you know, what they would say.
You betcha.
On that one side, the proclamational side, as we're calling it, it's a little difficult because it's been so entrenched with the way that we do church here in the West.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That they're not really articulating what they're for as much as what they're against sometimes.
Okay, gotcha.
And so it's hard. We know what they're for. And so you kind of have to read between the lines, if you will. But essentially, that proclamational side is a high view of the church, a high standard of the church. The reason we call them proclamational is because it's this elevation of the preacher-teacher role. From the pulpit, if you will, in the church, proclaiming the gospel to the audience, if you will.
Great things, appropriate things, biblical things, and then us recognizing there's a place for all of it. And within that spectrum and within your posturing for completing and being part of the mission of Christ, where is the appropriate place for these great things that are traits or marks that need to be adhered to? When, where, how, and with whom and what gifting needs to focus on it? That's a great definition representing that side of the camp. And as you said, it's a little bit hard to get out there and find a good, solid definition, right?
And so I think we're just going to dive into some of these, as we say, poles. So sometimes there can kind of be polar opposites. And so one characteristic or quality of this pole, and here's the other one. So where do we fall in the lines? And I just really want you to address of where you see FAM's fit within that kingdom movement definition, how that fits in this.
And as we go through this conversation, you know, this whole episode is about expanding that conversation, right? To really just share our heart, share our methods, and hopefully inspire, educate, and help people find their place on that spectrum to be the most effective. So I'm looking forward to this. I know you've done a lot of work in preparation, and this gives me a chance to share some insider stuff about FAM that we've rarely had a chance to share. So man, take us down that journey. This is going to be pretty fun.
So the first one I wanted to look at is related to the way that the church is led, if you will, which is a big point for the both sides, but for the proclamational side, it's who can lead the church. It's a qualified leader. They've been through the steps in order to reach that qualified nature. So they're a qualified leader. On the other side of the pole, the polar opposite is even those who are unsaved can lead a church. Can lead a group.
So that's the contrast, leadership. Qualified, highly educated, deeply experienced, one in a thousand, one in a million leaders versus on the other end of the spectrum, a lost guy could gather up friends and family and lead the church. You know, when I think about FAM and what it means for us to be in that hybrid space, golly, I don't know any of the 50-something thousand outreach Bible studies we've started in the last 10 years, or the 5,000 churches, not one of them has ever been led by someone that wasn't born again. Someone that wasn't filled with God's Spirit and trained to communicate God's word in truth. So when we think about that poll, FAM really fits the hybrid space of saying, yes, we want that, born again, baptized believers, filled with God's Spirit, communicating in love. So I think some of the controversy around that is on what we call church. Yeah. So on the movement-oriented model, they're saying, oh, yeah, they're leading a church, but it's really three guys meeting under a tree talking about Jesus. Sure. And then on the right side of the spectrum, they're saying, man, if it's going to be the church, it must have qualified biblical saved leaders, mm-hmm. and even elevated beyond that. For fam, man, we do believe in this understanding of empowering new believers to exercise a commitment to the mission of Christ and be out there making disciples. But the beauty of it is when new believers are engaged in that, we have bigger brothers in the faith that are walking alongside of them, that are assisting them. Most of all of our groups and all of our churches, even if they have local, young, maturing eldership, the elders among them in the household of households, we have bigger brothers in the faith that are educated, that have biblical degrees even, that are ebbing and flowing in and out of that, coaching, shaping, stabilizing to perpetuate that work with good health. But without chaining the Bible to the pulpit and saying the institutions are the only way, man, we're walking at kind of a movement pace, living up to that Acts 4 model, right?
Yeah.
That simple, uneducated men can proclaim and be part of the advancement of the kingdom who have been with Jesus. And that's the thing. You have to have been with Jesus. Yep. And that's why we would never have unbelievers guiding an outreach Bible study, let alone leadership in a church. You can't even be a part of one of our churches unless you're born again and baptized.
Yeah, I remember vividly in that time that I was in Dubai when FAM first got started. I mean, my vision of who can lead a church just drastically changed. We were in that labor camp. We're sharing that story and, you know, doing the dialogue of who these guys are, what the Sanhedrin said about them. And they were, oh, brother, this is me. I'm the unqualified. I'm the uneducated. And I mean, it was just a moment of clarity that you don't need degrees upon degrees to lead a church. Yeah. This guy had the zeal. He had the fire. He had the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He wanted to lead. And so that just completely changed my life.
Really, yeah, you bet.
That meeting. So,
amen.
I think it's good probably to caveat. We said these are polar opposites. These are
big
poles. These are the extremes. We know that ministries and groups have.
That's right.
It's not everybody's going to be all the way down here. Not everybody's going to be all the way on the other side as well. So
not everybody in each camp thinks the same way about everything.
Yeah. So we're not trying to define those. We're trying to define who we are within these poles. So.
Conversations I had recently at missions conference and stuff where people saying, "Yeah, where is that middle ground? Where is that middle voice to get out of the extremes and get into the right posture, the right zone about who we are and what we're about in this pursuit." Right. So what's another one of the contrasts?
Yeah, so similar, a lot of these are going to maybe overlap a little bit, but similar to who can lead is how they lead.
Okay.
And so in this proclamation model that we already talked about it, this proclamation, this didactic teaching role is the one that gets most of the time and energy, maybe all of the time and energy in the church. It's a very direct form of teaching, whereas in the movement oriented pole, you have more of a self discovery.
Gotcha.
Someone's leading it, but allowing the group to self discover the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something we really had to address in our group to say, okay, there's not among the unreached people groups we're working with, there aren't all these qualified teachers. And then the aspect of a self discovery Bible study where lost people are together trying to stumble into it. Man, that hybrid nature of FAM says, you know what? We're not going to use just audio recording devices to do it. Again, we want to raise up flesh and blood, filled with God's Spirit, communicating the truth in love. So one of the things we've done to help with that is every group that we start that's being led, there may not be this high, awesome, educated, speaking multiple languages type person that's been off to an institution that's going to be leading this outreach Bible study. But here's a couple of things. He's going to be one, two, or three steps ahead in the fact that he knows Christ. Mm-hmm. He knows the power of the resurrection of Christ, and he's fellowshipping with Christ in his sufferings. He's being educated in the essence of the gospel and given a core curriculum of Bible stories to be sharing that they're trained in, that they're educated in, and that big brothers and older sisters are coaching them along in and guiding them in the process. Mm. So we do create a space for new believers to get active in the mission of Christ.
Yeah.
But we have not elevated the role of teacher or the establishment of that role to create no space for others to share the gospel, to proclaim it, and to lead out in disciple making. There's a lot more of the areas of disciple making than just teaching, as we see it played out in a lot of our Western context.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Where that Sunday morning service is the only platform for teaching and discipleship.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I guess another one similar again to what we're talking about is the pace in which this goes out. And so we know the proclamational model is going to be slow and steady, methodical, deep.
Yeah.
The movement is going to be rapid. It's going to be exponential. We use that language. Fast, sporadic, wide, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you bet. You know, and as we look at that, I think FAM fits a real unique hybrid in that slow and steady. I think we were having a conversation a while back about someone you're reading a study and they're like, you know, why do we put the missionary down that's just out there trying to do what's right? Mm. I mean, they're not seeing much fruit, but they're trying to go slow. They're trying to do good. And I think it's just odd that we equate this slowness and lack of no fruit with good and godly, right? But at the other end of the spectrum, just that tyranny of a numbers game and running that down, that I have to produce a good newsletter, I have to see high fruit, I have to have a lot of numbers to report, I hold my team under a dictatorship of producing a report. Man, for FAM, most people probably don't know this, but we have never set, never in the 12-year history, a numeric goal for our apostolic teams in the field. Not one.
So for those guys in the field.
Never had a numeric goal. Not one of our practitioners in the field is saying, I have a goal that I have to meet of planting this many churches this year.
Gotcha.
Or even an expectation. Mm. Now, as the president and founder and the guider of our strategy and the greatest steward of us saying, to whom much is given, much is required, I set goals for the organization and for us, but they're not communicated. They're not imposed on our team. There's no quota or things to match. But what we're doing is there's an attitude within our team that says, let us keep pace and keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't overemphasize rapid for rapid's sake. I don't know anybody that's a real practitioner of a kingdom movement that is rapid for rapid. We would rather say, if there's any rapidity to it, it's rapid because we're trying to stay on the heels of the Holy Spirit. God is up to something. He's setting the pace. We're postured and keeping in step with the Spirit. Hmm. Hey, if the Spirit slows to accomplish His will, we slow, right? If He speeds up, we want to keep pace with what God's doing by His Spirit.
And do you have an, I mean, that's so good. But do you have an example of that keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, where maybe the time in the ministry, oh no, we do need to slow down and we need to focus in on this certain area.
Oh, you bet. It came with our church planting. In our church planting, we were saying, plant churches, plant churches, plant churches. And our team of about 250 indigenous workers, it was as if they were all sitting on their hands. They wanted to be honorable, wanted to be respectful, but they're like, oh, KP, what kind of churches you really want us to plant here? Because man, we love God and they're educated. They love the Lord. And one day they think they're going to, you know, they're going to stand before him and have to answer for what they did. And a few hundred dollars a month doesn't equate being dishonorable to your Lord and Savior and not doing what you know is right. So they're like, okay. So we were planting a few churches every year, a few churches a month even. Mm. But then when the team started communicating, hey, we don't know what kind of churches you're wanting us to plant. We don't feel good about creating some mutant expression of the body of Christ.
And this was coming from our
field workers, indigenous guys. So we listened and we slowed down. We developed a biblical theology on the church as a movement through the book of Acts and presented it to our guys and for our groups. Yeah. Then we educated them on a church shaping tool that we call church planting. Mm-hmm. We slowed down. We stopped. We retrained all of our teams, all of our leaders in how to shape biblical churches, how to go from outreach Bible study to biblical church. And man, when that happened, we saw something break forth. Hmm. We saw church planting go from a few churches every 6 months to a few churches a month, to a church a day, to two churches a day, to three churches a day, and in 2021, to four churches a day.
Yep.
But it wasn't just when we got quantitative in it. Hmm. It was when we slowed down enough to say, let's get qualitative. And then we can't hold back the rate of church planting within our ministry. It's right. going off the charts, but it's qualitative and quantitative. Yeah. We also don't put a big value on that slow, in essence, means godly or good. Mm. That no fruit is a sign of I'm doing right.
Yeah.
Man, I believe this. Whoever sows much reaps much.
Yeah.
So I say instead of valuing going slow, let's just sow abundantly and leave the results up to the Lord and keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So that's kind of how FAM falls in a hybrid spot with our attitude and our thoughts toward this. Yeah.
So, I mean, the next one was about numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of hit it on.
Yeah, let's stretch it out a little bit.
Yeah, so on this side, not that they're not looking for any numbers, but numbers aren't important.
Yeah, gotcha.
Numbers aren't important. They're not after a certain number. It's qualitative versus on this side, it is a quantitative number, maybe centric.
Yeah, it's good. So again, I mean, we kind of addressed that in the last one, but there is a tyranny that many church leaders in America live under. And when I was working in the Western church, we did. You know, we're living week to week on how many people show up.
Yeah.
We're living week to week on what's the size of the offering. And in mission work, it kind of can go the same, that people would live under that tyranny of, can I put out a real effective newsletter? So again, some of the ways we've mitigated that attitude in a movement-oriented ministry is a value that my wife and I have been taking with us in 27 years of vocational ministry. Mm. And when we started FAM, we brought this attitude, when it comes to the numbers, right into that as well. And Derek, you've been part of it for 12 years of that. So here's what we do. To keep a right mind, to keep a right heart, an attitude, we say this mantra, this rule we live by when it comes to, are we no numbers oriented or are we, you know, numbers centric? Mm. Here's the attitude that permeates our heart. Number one, it comes down to motivation. And we think about numbers, and if you know anything about FAM and you get our newsletters and you listen to our talks, we're metric driven, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But in that, our number one thing is what we're motivated by. And we are motivated by the relationships. Mm. Let's take baptism, for instance. One of our five core metrics is how many people do we see baptized in a year? Right? It's a good mark of not just professions of faith, but disciple making that's going to lead to biblical church planting. So we look at it as a key performance indicator, mm-hmm. right? So how many people are getting baptized? Well, why do we emphasize it? Because we're motivated by the vertical relational quality of it.
Okay.
That when a new believer comes to faith, when they're walking with the Lord and becoming obedient to Him and growing in Him and getting part of the body, there's a vertical relational quality about them getting baptized. There's a horizontal relational quality being engrafted into the local body of Christ signified through baptism. We're motivated by that relationship. That's why we drive to see people baptized. But at the same time, we're held accountable to another standard, and we're held accountable to the numbers. Like I said earlier, to whom much is given, much is required.
Yeah.
Man, at FAM, we realize we have been given much, and much is required of us. So in this key performance indicator of baptism, we say, okay, we're motivated properly, but let's be held accountable to be good stewards of what's given to us in the way we're postured, in the way we use resources, in the focus of our team, in the quality of our ministry. We're accountable to see much fruit, right, with the resources that have been given to us. So we gauge it, we watch it as an indicator and an accountability, right? Not to lull ourselves into a false sense of obedience or just saying, well, it's a little bit tough out there, so. No, we're going to be accountable to the numbers.
So what does it do if we are accountable to those numbers? What does it do if we see an area that's, if this is a key performance indicator, those numbers are dipping, maybe they're going less.
Oh, it happens all the time.
What's your response?
Yeah, you know what? We don't even watch them on a monthly basis. That no red flags go off or anything in our metric world until 3 months. So all of our national directors and the top guys I work with, when we start to see indicators going down or something's happening, here's how we address it. It isn't squeeze them and wring them out for more. It isn't berate and discipline. Mm. It's what's the qualitative measure that needs to be addressed here. It's not how do we get more quantity.
Yeah.
It's what's the qualitative measure that needs to be addressed here. Because here's the third thing in the mantra. Hmm. Motivated by the relationships, held accountable to the numbers, and each man, each person is responsible for their own actions. Now, just think about how this plays out, whether you're a no numbers or a numbers-centric kingdom actor, kingdom ambassador, right? Think about how this three touches would play out. Checking our motivation, establishing our accountability, and then putting a personal onus, not an organizational expectation, but there is a responsibility that rests with me, right, to do what I am responsible for. I'm going to stand before God someday, not fam.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand before God. Did I live up to my God-given responsibilities and give it everything that I had to offer it as I had to offer it, as long as I had to offer it?
Yeah.
So, motivated by the relationships, accountable to the numbers, responsible for our own actions. Mm. Derek, we have time for probably one more. Okay. What's the biggest one of the contrast you saw in your research?
Yeah. Maybe there's a few about the church. The high standard of...
Yeah, it's low. A good one.
But I think maybe the best one to end our time on is what comes first? The church is needed for the discipleship, or is church a collection of disciples who've been made?
Sure. I think in the spectrums, we see the argument, we see the methodology and the approach that's made. Let me just represent FAMS.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a real good distinctive of what puts us in a hybrid.
Yeah.
It's right in the middle of our mission statement. It's everything we do. We actually adapted our mission statement in the early years because we saw the way we were living out on the field didn't match our old mission statement. And then also our theology around the Great Commission. We're like, hey, we're acting more in line with it. Let's change our mission statement to reflect it.
Yeah.
And FAM is a hybrid. Here's what we say. Yeah, we're committed to initiating, nurturing, and facilitating kingdom movements that lead to biblical church planting. So in our strategy, our view of the Great Commission, our conviction is you make disciples. And it's through the making of disciples that necessitates churches being established.
Mm.
We don't go out and plant a flag or build a building or hire a seminary trained pastor to relocate, hang a shingle and say, hey, a church is here and hope we can gather some Christians and then plant a flag.
Yeah.
We do it completely opposite. We send people in to engage lostness, make disciples out of them. As they're maturing, as they're shaping, we bring them into being established bodies of Christ so we can multiply for successive generations. But so FAM falls definitely in that line of making disciples that leads to biblical church planting.
That's awesome. Well, this has been, it's been really fun. It's been great to just kind of nerd out on
all
this missionary talk that we love. But really, getting to the core of the issue, why does it matter? Why does it matter, KP, to define ourselves in this hybrid space?
Yeah, you bet. You know, when we landed there, we realized that it is part of our identity to see, man, in this whole spectrum, in this conversation, we're not a unicorn, but we have a unique identity as this hybrid in the middle. Mm. And what that does, it helps us be comfortable in our own skin. I can be more gracious to those on the far right. I can be more gracious to those on the far left.
Yeah.
I can walk slow among my brethren. We can lift our head up high because, you know, we're comfortable in our own skin.
Yeah.
We know our calling. We know who we are. We know why we do what we do. And then really what I love about it, and the whole, one of the whole purposes for this podcast, to engage the conversation, but create opportunities for partnership.
Mm.
So for all those out there thinking about, who am I going to align with to go?
Yeah.
Where am I going to send my kingdom resources? And as a church leader, how am I going to lead our church into great partnership to see works like this? Man, I can find a home. I can find an ally in FAM as a kingdom partner serving as a hybrid. So I'm excited of how that's going to open up opportunities for us in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
So no matter where you're at on the church model spectrum, we would love to talk about partnership opportunities with you. Here's what we found. Out of our obedience and our commitment to the harvest field and this unique space that God has put us in as a hybrid, it gives great opportunity for us to have wonderful partnerships to advance His kingdom among the unreached. We would love to have those partnership conversations with you. So, hey, send us a review. We'd love to hear how God's moving in your life, what your thoughts are on these subjects. Join in the conversation on our Instagram at GoFan. Check out our website for opportunities for partnership and share this podcast with a friend. Let's invite more people as we really pursue what these kingdom movements are all about. So that's all for today. Thanks for tuning in, and go and be dangerous for Jesus.